Oh, gallant.
So you guys waited to celebrate. You didn't want to do it yesterday, knowing that winning the division was on the line. It was out there for you to get. You get it. What does it mean to you to be ALS champs again?
Well, it means a lot to the city, a lot to us, and a lot to people that have faith in us.
Do you have faith? You should. Guys, it's playoff time in Houston. On this Friday, gotta get down on Friday, October 6th of 2023, Sean Mapes and I are hanging out live at East River 9. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 are going to be here all day. It is 75 degrees. It is perfect weather outside. You have the best view of downtown Houston in the entire city. There are drinks to my left. There is golf right in front of me. Get your ass out here because it's time for us all to get pumped up for the Astros starting the playoffs on Saturday. First pitch, 3:45. We got Justin Verlander on the hill. I feel like it's time to bust out the song. Why do they argue the umpire's call?
I'm DMX.
I don't know.
Also don't know. Because they're hard of the playoff.
Going to be the Twins. The war's not over till the final shot.
Everyone's looking at me now.
Who says it's only a game?
What a line to scream.
I don't know. Who says it's only a game? Everybody now, Astros, baseball. Who says it's only a game?
Everyone's staring at me.
Yeah. What a song to sing at a golf course.
That's what you need to have. I want someone in the middle of their backswing to hear the Astros equivalent of cocaine in their ear holes so that they know that it's time. It's playoff baseball time in Houston. That guy keeps looking back at me. Sup, dog? I intimidated him. Alpha. Walk away. Walk away.
It's playoff time.
It's playoff time, Sean. Yeah. I'm so excited. I really am. Can't wait to go out to Minute Maid Park. It's part of Sober October. I'm not going to lie. That El Tiempo's already calling me. That El Tiempo margarita. The drinks at the bar inside here at East River 9 are also calling me.
Okay. Text in, call in, 713-780-3776. What inning will Sober October end for Paul DeMont on Saturday?
That makes it sound like it's a problem.
Third inning.
That makes it sound like I've got a really
Will
bad
there be
problem.
A pitching change before Paul DeMont has a $1,900 El Tiempo margarita?
A great question. Here's the thing, Sean. If things don't go well early, I might feel like I need to break the glass in case of an emergency to go get the frozen El Tiempo margarita. Hell, I might even pay $17 extra for the Breggy sauce around the rim. But I don't feel like that's going to happen. But let's be serious for a moment, because we are all pumped up, and if you're pumped, you're welcome all show long on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, by phone, by text, twitch.tv/ESPN975 on Twitter, @GallantSays, it's Sean A. Mapes, who is out here with me. We got BMAC back at Mission Control. There's been a lot of criticism of Dusty Baker this year. A lot. This show has not participated. One, we have lives, but two, we're also baseball casuals. We don't have the energy to get mad at Dusty Baker lineups every single day, especially when Dusty Baker's decisions, for the most part in the postseason last year, all worked out. I'm about to go on an extended, rambly-sounding analogy, metaphor here.
Oh, change of pace.
It's a change of pace, Sean. As a hunter, Sean shaking his head. What, Sean? I hunt.
No. Yeah.
I play Skyrim. I hunt in that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say at the bars you hunt, but
well, the hunting's not been going so well. You could say that I'm out of season.
You're
there.
The Elmer Fudd of.
Oh, I am the Elmer Fudd of that. Yes, that's for sure. Running out of options, as my mother says. But as someone who also hunts in a little game that we like to call Red Dead Redemption, I'm probably more of a hunter than anybody listening. I know a thing or two about hunting. In hunting, there's a thing called seasons.
Yeah.
It's when you're actually allowed to hunt certain things, Sean Mapes.
Yep.
It is officially Dusty Baker criticism is fair if warranted season. In the regular season, he's endangered. Last year, in the postseason, had there been mistakes, he probably would have been out of a job. But he did a damn good job in last year's postseason. So we will be keeping an eye on Dusty and the decisions that he makes. Starting now.
Now.
Is it because we're lazy baseball casuals? Some will say yes. I will say it's because I have faith. I have the faith that Dusty Baker is looking for. By the way, I feel like now is the perfect time to just play some Dusty Baker audio that's going to drive people crazy. Because I do get a kick out of the people who get so worked up over Dusty. I don't understand it. I truly don't. It's the same kind of energy people had for Bill O'Brien. I don't get it. Like, Bill O'Brien was a dick. Like, we're not. That's not even arguable. I think he would even admit that. Dusty Baker was talking about the days that the Astros needed off, the last couple before they start things against Minnesota, at his press conference before the ALDS yesterday.
Ordinarily, you wouldn't want those days off, that many days off, but I think we needed them because I'm telling you, I mean, if we had to play Tuesday, my bullpen was upside down. My players were tired. I was tired.
He was tired. You hear that at the very end. The vultures start circling. They want to take our fearless leader down. And it got worse. Sean's shaking his head.
I don't love the I was tired.
Sean, it's going to get worse. Because Dusty continued on this answer. And here he is talking about all of the extra sleep that he got on Monday.
I don't want to have to call him Sleepy Dusty. I don't want to have to do
Sleepy
it.
Dusty. Here's Sleepy Dusty talking about, at that press conference, how on Monday he overslept.
I slept Monday till like 10:30. I woke up in a panic. And, man, I thought it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I hadn't slept that late since I was a kid. And so that just told me that my body and my mind had been grinding, that we were tired and we needed that rest.
Look, he does make a good point there. He needed the rest. We needed the rest. It's been a stressful last couple of weeks.
It has been, especially the way this specific season has gone. Yes,
yeah.
It has. I feel having to play through the final whistle, so to speak, of the Astros
You're
season.
You're not used to it.
Not used to it. I'm used to wrapping this thing up September 9th.
Exactly. Then you don't have to pay attention. You could focus on football. Then you get mad at the Texans and Texas for, inevitably disappointing.
I'm normally firing a Texas Longhorn coach by now.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Now here we are, and it's the first game of the playoffs. And I don't want to start calling Dusty Baker Sleepy Dusty. I will not push back, though, because he literally said he was very sleepy on Monday. But it's important to get your rest, you know?
It is.
I have not been getting my rest this week. There's some bags under my eyes. I stayed up a little bit too late last night rewatching season 2 of The Boys. Why? I don't know. I really have no idea, but I was up until 1, did wake up at 5, but am I getting my rest? I don't know. Dusty is getting his rest. The Astros are getting their rest, so don't get mad at Dusty Baker for just being honest. And who hasn't amongst us, whomst hasn't woken up on a weekend day after sleeping in being like, oh, what's the day?
Yeah.
We've all done it.
100% guilty as doing that. Not at 10:30, though. Normally has to be a little bit later
That's
for me
true.
To be thrown off by my my sleep pattern.
Do you think Dusty was partying? Do you think they all were partying after winning the division? So they all got a little
ask Brian McTaggart. He's the final arbiter of who was celebrating and who wasn't.
Well, the prophet of truth, Brian McTaggart, calling out the Rangers for their celebration before actually needing to celebrate. It's sort of like, you know, all those followers of Moses with the golden calf. Like, what are you guys doing, you bozos?
You know, like Brian McTaggart leading us. I am leading us just on like the that. Great journey, and Dusty Baker is as well. So, guys, just because Dusty said some things that annoy you is no reason to lose faith. It is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. From the 832, Dusty been mall walking too much. Is that something he does? Does he go on walks at the
that
mall?
That might just be an old person thing.
Oh, okay.
That might be what that is.
I don't know if I'd go on a walk at the Galleria anymore. I feel like if you're an old person walking at the Galleria, you're going to get stabbed.
Yeah.
Shanked? No, don't shake it. Nothing against the Galleria. I got to say, it's not the same.
Yeah, keep it to Memorial City.
It's
I
not
guess.
Guns Point, at least. Yeah. Imagine Dusty really? Walking around Guns Point.
I think he could walk around Guns Point.
You think so?
I think people would give him the respect that he deserves. Is Northwest Mall still a thing, or has that actually been closed down?
Honestly, probably not.
I remember every mall was not great when I was growing up, and I would have to go to Northwest Mall all the time because that was the closest Chick-fil-A to my house was in Northwest Mall. So that every time I went to get Chick-fil-A, it'd be kind of a gamble. But it was worth it.
That's never a good thing when the Chick-fil-A is a gamble. One question before we head to our first break. Sean Mapes is out with us at East River 9. Yes. Our coverage out here brought to you by Gentle Ben. You're wearing your Hook'em shirt. UT in Oklahoma is the second biggest event this weekend, because is this not a game where we can officially say Texas is back if they beat Oklahoma?
I still say it's a little premature.
You got your Rose Bowl hat on too. January 4, 2006. That was the last time Texas was back.
Really? Oh, yeah. Then you can't say they're back until they win another national championship.
Oh,
if that's the bar.
Standards have been raised.
No, you said that's the standard.
I'm just saying you're wearing the hat.
I am wearing the hat.
You're wearing the hat. You're wearing your
feeling
shirt.
Feeling good.
You're feeling good. Okay.
Feeling good.
Okay. That is something we can talk about as well. Sean Mapes is the expert on that bad boy. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 with Sean Mapes. We're hanging out at East River 9.
You know, these guys battled their tails off the whole year. We've been through a lot. A lot of injuries. A lot of injuries to position players, pitchers, and we continue to grind. We hadn't been in first place for no more than probably 2 weeks or whatever it was. But at the end of the day, these guys did it! Yeah!
How about that? Dana Brown finally doing what we've always wanted him to do, doing his version of a...
He went full Howard Dean on that.
We've been calling him a politician, Sean, all season long. He makes a lot of promises. He hasn't really delivered on any of those promises. But I was happy seeing him in the Astros clubhouse after they were officially able to win the ALS thanks to a nice little collapse by Tabs Texas Rangers. I asked people on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, where you add hype level 1 to 10 on Saturday. Rare Candy is saying Astros 11-0 postseason. I really want them to start off like that again. I think the person who was most annoyed by me asking about the possibility of a perfect postseason was Alex Bregman. Because when I went to World Series Media Day, I was going, no one's ever gone undefeated in the postseason with the postseason constructed the way that it is now. And he was like, oh, my God, you're the worst. Like, I could just see it in his eyes. He was polite. He wasn't a jerk. But, man, that was really, I thought, enjoyable for me. Just knowing I'm a nosy, annoying muckraker.
And then they went out and lost game one.
They did, yes!
Thanks to you.
No, I mean,
they
should have won that one.
Do you think that while he was walking off the field after losing game one, Alex Bregman had a thought of, like,
oh, yeah,
that moron that asked me about
he thought about the pasty white guy with the huge eyebrows and the thick beard that he was growing out so he could be ripped for Halloween, but only got to wear that costume for 10 minutes because game one of the World Series took 8 effing hours and they lost. I'm not mad about that. Nope, not at all. More comments, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Poor Marine says he's at a 10. Tony the Handsome says, sup. Waka Flocka Bucks at a 10. There we go, guys. There we go. All right. There's nothing more frustrating than wasting your time. I've wasted my time a lot over the last 24 hours. I've been trying to get my new car registered since I had it shipped here from California. I actually drove to a DMV, only to find out, nope, you got to go to a tax assessor's office, whatever the F that is. So I actually was in the waiting room. Luckily, it only took 10 minutes for me to get in and out. And someone said, like, yeah, you're in the wrong place. And I was like, oh, my God. Wasted my time there. I also wasted my time yesterday getting in an argument with an Irish man about football.
American football?
American football, yes, Sean. I got in an argument with Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus. I've come to realize that these are my people. Like, I am of Irish ancestry. I'm of French-Canadian ancestry. Their opinions on football would make me also confident in my ability to invade their country like England did. You're shaking your head, Sean. I mean, Irish have some terrible American football takes, whether it's Kian Fahey or it's Sam Monson. And I went down a rabbit hole getting in an argument with this guy who was saying that C.J. Stroud, implying like he might not be that good. It's like, okay, dude, cool, because your stupid-ass metrics aren't saying that it's good. I have eyeballs, you effing nerd. Anyway, I didn't say this to him online. I was very polite in my conversation online.
Which is crazy, because you think that people are the biggest gangsters on Twitter. But somehow you
come
back on Twitter.
I'm more of a gangster on the air. Everyone knows this.
Yeah.
The OG is Houston Sports. My big thing, Sean, is that I wasted my time there. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to watch this Frontline documentary about the Astros cheating scandal, thinking that maybe we'd get something new that I could bring to the table. It's an hour and a half. I'm like, okay, we got to get something new. Nothing new! We got nothing new! I wasted my time. I thought for sure we would get something that we didn't already know. And I guess that's what sports documentaries are now, where the ones I'm interested in watching are usually about things that I already have talked about a little bit on the radio and probably haven't done it in a lot of depth. But we've all talked about the sign-stealing scandal as much depth as possible.
That is the most well-traveled land in Houston sports radio in the last whenever it dropped.
There's probably some people listening right now that are pissed at me even talking about this. And granted, but my biggest frustration is that I watched this whole thing and that I didn't really learn anything new from Ben Ryder. The thing that we were all watching for was a question that Ben Ryder asked towards the end.
Of course.
Other teams stealing signs. Here's Ben Ryder narrating that on PBS.
I still have questions about some of the results of that strategy, including the degree to which the Astros continued to steal signs in the 2017 playoffs. Between Tony Adams' research, the league's investigation, and all the reporting, it's just not clear. Of course, it's also unclear how many of their opponents were also cheating, and to what extent. But in a game of razor-thin differentials, we'll never know if the cheating was what had given the Astros the ultimate edge.
Oh my God! Give me something else!
Even that, like, 40-second clip, it felt like he was dragging it out.
Yeah!
Dragging it out. God.
God, PBS or NPR, it's always the same, like the soft,
very same tone. Yeah,
yeah.
Unless you're living on Sesame Street, everyone talks the same on PBS.
Pretty much, you're right.
Stick to Sesame Street, PBS.
Shout out to Sesame Street. Shout out to Wishbone, good show back in the day.
Don't remember that.
Shout out to Arthur, good show.
Do remember that?
Okay, what else happened in this documentary? Was there anything new? Well, I miss Jeff Luhnow. Apparently, Jeff Luhnow's in Spain operating a soccer team, and the soccer team's already good. What an effing surprise. I thought it was a bit of a reach. Sean's making the sign of the cross there. Not me. Sean, who went to St. Pius. Damn.
Mm. Well, you're
Oh, yeah, that's true. I do have a church. But, I mean, I shouldn't be converting
you. The actual church.
Listen, that's fair. I'm the high tradesman of the church.
When in Rome, do as the Romans. When you're in front of the high priest of whatever, I just wanted to acclimate, but whatever.
Okay, fair enough. You're right to call me out on that. Yeah. I forgot. Small brain. It happens. We're at East River 9, by the way. Come out. It's a beautiful day. My goodness. So also in this documentary, I thought it was a reach. Just thinking about the investigation, how they tried to link Brandon Taubman and his drunken outburst after they won the 2019 ALCS about Roberto Osuna, they tried to link that to, like, the Astros, like, culture of, like, winning at all costs. And, okay, maybe you can make the link, but I don't know how that related to the sign stealing.
Yeah, the trading for him, the trading for Osuna is the winning at all costs. Not exactly what the assistant general manager or, like, one of the front office
Brandon Taubman, right,
suits,
yeah.
Whatever he was saying after the game.
It was dumb, and they lost their innocence when they made that trade. In fact, my radio career at the flagship might have ended on that day. I don't know how many people remember back at the flagship. I was doing the show with Mike Meltzer and Seth Payne, and we were all agreeing about this, like, the Osuna trade sucks for the Astros. Like, they make him a little bit less likable. And all of a sudden, Meltzer just lost his mind on Seth, and I'm just sitting there as, like, my two radio dads, like, yell at each other, and Mike just yelled unbearable 12 times.
Oh,
They both stormed out of studio, and I'm just like, it's mad radio. We'll be right back.
Very mad radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Seth didn't come back, and then Mike calmed down immediately. It was, again, that was towards the end of the time at the old flagship. I knew right there, I was like, oh, damn, I just got moved into a no-win situation. Great. I'm like the dog trying to keep a divorcing couple together. I love those two. They're still, you know, we still talk a lot. Other things that we learned in this documentary, I got to say, Antonio Padilla, stock up. So at one point he said that the Astros gave him one of their full share bonuses. This is the video manager for the Astros. They gave him a full share bonus of like $450,000, and he wasn't making that much after they won the World Series. Honestly, and again, I have a controversial take on this, but I mean, they got away with it, so like, probably should have paid him a little bit more. You know, that's sort of my whole take on it. But Padilla was also asked about Jose Altuve's buzzer, which is something that the idea that he had a buzzer, which I feel like has just been a slanderous hit piece done by John Boy Media. And since they're not essentially a big boy sports media company, they've been able to get off scot-free with slander, essentially. This is what Padilla had to say about the idea of Altuve wearing a buzzer.
Was Jose Altuve wearing a buzzer?
No. No, there's absolutely, like, zero truth to any of that. You just hate to see, like, the media try to run some really, like, good people into the ground with that, and even some other players around the league just buy into the conspiracy theory of that. And that just, like, absolutely was, like, never even discussed. Obviously, the bad stuff is going to get more clicks and more headlines. But I think the good stuff needs to be talked about a lot more, just because they're doing things that teams are still trying to catch up with today that they were doing years ago.
Loyalty, baby. Loyalty.
Sounds like he was about to cry. And also, they played the, like, really tugging on the heartstrings music, too.
They did, because they should be, because everyone's heartstrings were tugged by Jose Altuve being dragged through the mud by a whiny, bitter Yankees fan. And Padilla did an AMA on Reddit. They got to bring him back, the Astros. Did you see some of the stuff he said? It's great. He was asked about why maybe the story came out. And he says, I think the story gets out because Mike Fiers thought we were still using the scheme in 2019. Two of his worst starts in 2019 were against us at home, and he likely thought we were relaying signs because his starts against us were so bad. He sees his ERA blow up after those starts and decides he needs to speak to the media about it. Hell yeah! Let's go, Antonio!
Wow. Double barrel, just shotgun to the face.
Really good! And he also said, thinking back, I don't think the sign stealing was actually effective. Let's go! This guy rules! It made the players lose sight of their instincts. On the road, when we didn't use anything, our hitter instincts would turn back on, and we would hit way better on the road.
That is true. The facts of they hit better on the road than at home is true.
I want to have him on. I like this guy. I imagine he maybe wants to distance himself from this. And I think he stopped working for the team after last year. Could be wrong. I don't know. But that guy rules. I like him.
Yeah.
No one else was weighing in on this. Hinch didn't weigh in on it. No Jim Crane. No Astros.
I think it's basically everyone who wants to still work in baseball just kind of wants it to be as far away, have their name as far away from it as possible, like in the present.
I think a lot of the people that were in it wanted to stay relevant, whether it's Ben Ryder or former baseball commissioner Faye Vincent, who decided, like, this old guy, he's, like, lying back in his couch, like, sinking into it. And again, we're all going to look like that when we're old. If I even get to that age, yeah, that's probably what me. I'm going to be like. But Faye Vincent had the hottest of hot takes. You talk about trying to stay relevant, Sean. Here's Faye Vincent talking about what should have happened to the Astros players.
The rules are what make a game a game. So the question is, what would I have done as commissioner? I'd have thrown them all out. I would have said they're out for the rest of their lives. And I tell you,
rest of their lives?
Rest of their
lifetime ban.
Lifetime ban.
Hardo! Oh, I'm Faye Vincent. I'm trying to be relevant again. I mean, wasn't Faye Vincent the commissioner when the game went on strike? Pretty sure he was. Could be wrong.
You know, I'm just happy that Faye Vincent is
still
alive.
Kicking.
Because I, if you would have asked me, is Faye Vincent still alive? I would have said no.
Yes.
So good for him. He does sound like an old person Muppet, but that's all right.
It's just Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. It is 75 degrees and beautiful out here at East River 9. We're out here thanks to our friends at Gentle Ben. Ooh, there's some booze over there. Get out of the way, Josh. I want to look at the booze.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem, though. And it's sober October. Stop looking at me like that.
Stop.
It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Come on out to East River 9. Up next. Oh, my goodness. The Texans injury report actually looks good for a change. And an epic rant from a New Yorker. Let's revel in their misery. First, though, I got to tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. A lot of people tell me all the time, I'm a cowboy. Everyone's looking at me with a skeptical face right now. Why can't I be a cowboy? Seems kind of offensive to put me down like that. And you know why I'm a cowboy? Because I drink Pendleton whiskey. You ever heard of a little thing called the Pendleton Roundup? It's only one of the oldest rodeos in North America. And it gave birth to something equally renowned, Pendleton whiskey, which captures the unique spirit of the American West in every single bottle and honors the enduring legacy of the American West. Give me the original when it's not sober October. Give me a glass. Give me a rock. It is smooth, it is refreshing, and not too sweet. It's cut with the finest northern grains and Mount Hood Glacier water, a whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. You can be a cowboy too, like me.
To you. All pets are unique. Your pet's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Studies available upon request. Paid for by Dr. Marty Pets.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
I'm just relieved that for the first time this year, the Houston Texans injury report, at least yesterday, seemed actually not bad. So Malik Collins didn't participate in practice, defensive tackle for a second straight practice. That's not great going up against the Falcons running game, which is very good. John Metchie was out with an illness, and Shaquille Griffin popped up on the injury report with a calf injury as a limited participant. But Josh Jones is back out there. More importantly, Laremy Tunsil is back out there. Cam Johnston, your punter who looks like Bill Burr, he's back out there. Michael Dieter, Titus Howard, Shaq Mason, Denzel Perryman, Damian Pierce, Tavier Thomas, all guys who were listed as limited or have been out recently. All of them full participants in practice yesterday. Good to see. We'll talk more about the Texans at 10:45. Football did lose a legend yesterday, and it's one of those players that I wish I was able to watch live instead of just when I was in my very, very nerdy phase watching ESPN Classic all the time, seeing documentaries of the guy. But there are few figures as mythological in the NFL's history as the late Dick Butkus, who passed away at 80 years old. I mean, one of the toughest linebackers in NFL history. Just a man's man. Thick mustache, guy who grew up in Illinois, played football at Illinois, played football for the Bears, drifted into the world of acting, and was a spokesperson for my favorite of the three major beers.
Mr. Butkus and I have a problem. I do not appreciate American football.
And I don't appreciate rugby.
However, there is one thing we both appreciate. Light beer from Miller. Light contains a third less calories than their regular beer. It's also less filling.
But our favorite thing is the way it tastes.
Quite right, Dickie boy. I'll never like your football, but I do love your light beer.
Mike, I'll never like rugby, but I do love those cute little shorts.
Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer and less.
You could be masculine and appreciate short shorts on another man.
Of course, that's what you take out from this.
Yeah, Sean, that's what I take from this. I'm wearing shorter shorts today. What's wrong with that?
That's the legacy that Dick Butkus leaves for you.
Yes.
Is tough, hard-nosed football and little tiny shorts.
Well, he likes that guy's tiny shorts.
Yeah.
It's okay to appreciate another man's tiny shorts.
Appreciating other people in tiny shorts.
Rugby players wear tiny shorts. What can I say?
Oh, Paul. Of course you like guys with tiny shorts.
Yeah. Show off those quads.
Huh? Yeah, you got a problem with it? You have to go through
Dick Butkus and me, but mostly Dick Butkus.
Yes.
Rest in peace, Dick Butkus. That's truly an NFL legend. And I think very fitting that the Bears kicked the ass of the Commanders in Thursday Night Football.
I don't want to minimize, his death and trivialize it. But it did seem like a classic situation where the team goes out there and absolutely slaughters whoever's in front of them.
Remember when Al Davis passed away? The Raiders beat the Texans. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hugh Jackson was coaching them. They were able to overcome that thanks to the spirit of Al Davis.
Yeah, and that was like a good Texans team.
Yeah, it was. Syracuse grad Al Davis, by the way. Flex. Unnecessary information.
How did Dick Butkus' passing turn into
Listen, I'm Syracuse? Talking about the Thursday night football game.
Are you recruiting right now?
Maybe. Big game against Drake May and UNC on Saturday.
Right. We will not be picking that in the
picks. We will not. No, we will not. But the Bears got out to a huge lead on the Commanders, 27-3. They held on. It did look for a little bit of time like there was a chance that the Commanders would come back. Riverboat Ron, thin ice, I think, as the head coach. When Magic Johnson is growling in the press box, you're probably screwed. And, of course, Magic, after the game, who's a part owner of the Commanders, he's tweeting out the absolute obvious. But he seems pissed off with Ron Rivera. But credit to Justin Fields, who actually has looked pretty good the last two games. Credit to DJ Moore, who was a part of that trade that the Bears made so that the Panthers could trade up to the number one overall spot. He had 200 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns. Could have had 4 if he didn't step out of bounds. And Ohio State fans are going to be insufferable for the next couple of days, especially if CJ Stroud plays well, because you might not just have one good Ohio State quarterback in the NFL. It might be 2, Sean.
Okay.
And here's the thing. We're allied with Ohio State fans now. So I think we have to be in solidarity with Justin Fields and what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, I would say even Ohio State fans, though, they have to have a little bit higher standards when it comes to football, to Justin Fields buying back in on the Justin Fields train. I still want to see a little bit more. I mean, this feels like it's a little similar to Zach Wilson's Sunday night game, where all of a sudden we can't say that Zach Wilson stinks because he played all right and still blew the game for the Jets anyway against the Chiefs. This feels like Justin Fields' version of that, where, yes, he played very well. He actually probably played better than Zach Wilson did on Sunday night. But there are, like you mentioned, there's still that stretch in the third quarter, maybe even a little bit into the fourth, where everyone sitting at home was thinking, are the Bears going to blow this one again?
Yes, 100%.
Like, are they going to blow another game like this?
It would have been kind of funny if they did.
Hilarious.
Here's what's a shame. Of all the things that I thought would be a waste of time on Thursday, I thought Thursday Night Football would be a waste of time.
Pulled through.
And Thursday Night Football was better than that Frontline documentary. It was better than the D'Amico Ryans interview on Part of My Take. It was better than me going to the wrong bureaucratic office in Houston to go get my registration finalized for my new car.
The wrong bureaucratic office might be second on that on the power rankings.
Yeah, probably.
Because it wasn't that bad. It was annoying, but it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was only 10 minutes, luckily.
D'Amico Ryans was like 45 minutes of basically a D'Amico Ryans press conference.
Yeah, there were a couple of moments where you're like, okay, cool, but yeah, it's
the best part was him just naming some guys, really.
That is true. That is true. He did say Will Anderson's a game wrecker at practice. Okay, we talked about Evan Neal, the guard for the New York Giants yesterday, who said, like, a lion doesn't concern himself with the opinions of sheep, and essentially called fans, like, what are they going to go back to do? Like, flipping burgers
flipping
and hot dogs.
Flipping hot dogs.
You rotate hot dogs.
Exactly.
You rotate a hot dog. So you got to have a little bit of burn. A little char. I think that's the proper way for a hot dog. But he's apologized not once but twice now in online statements. And speaking of hot dogs, a man who looks like he eats a lot of hot dogs, Don LaGreca of the Michael Kay Show, went on a rant. What, Sean? That's accurate.
Don't do that to Don LaGreca.
He looks like he eats a lot of hot dogs.
He does look like he eats
I'm sure he's proud to eat a lot of hot dogs. He's a bigger guy.
He is.
He doesn't watch himself like me.
Let's hear what Don LaGreca had to say
about Evan Neal. Here's what Don LaGreca had to say about Evan Neal
This is apparently an all-time rant.
Are you kidding me? I'd cut his ass. I would. How dare you? How dare you? These people pay your salary. They pay an obnoxious amount of money to park, an obnoxious amount of money for PSLs to sit there and watch this pap, and you call them hamburger flippers? What, you're so much better? I'd rather have a guy that's flipping hamburgers block than your piece of garbage ass. Who the hell are you to talk to fans like that? You piece of garbage. I hate when players do that. You're not above us. What, because you happen to play a sport? You make them, you're better than me? You're better than the people that pay your salary? These Giant fans were here before you, and they'll be here after your sorry ass is cut.
Damn, I love Don LaGreca. Don LaGreca is my favorite New York radio host. Second is Jake Asman. But Don LaGreca is the GOAT. I love it when he gets unhinged and he just is screaming. You're actually kind of worried for his health. I was worried for his health a couple times just in that, like, 30-second clip. But, yeah, he is the reason that the Michael K show works.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Not Michael K.
Michael K is the worst part of the Michael K show.
It should be the Don LaGreca show.
There is another world, Sean. Say I had never... Me and my mom moved to Florida when I was 14. My family had, like, a rather dramatic split. A little TMI here. But there is a world where, had I stayed in Boston for the entirety of my life, where I'm doing that in Boston. Like, it took me leaving to realize, like, how effing crazy Northeastern sports talk radio is.
Mac Jones, you think you're better than me?
Oh! Look at you, you... the problem with the Boston accent is I have to drop an F-bomb to get into character. Yeah. Like, who do you think you are, you country club-looking mother bleeper? Look at you over here. You look like you might throw change at the homeless. Here you are grabbing people's gonads, walking around thinking you're all that, Mac Jones. You ain't bleep, and you're talking down to me. Yeah, I don't know. I can't. If I don't get an F bomb in there, it sounds
helps,
New York.
It helps get into. Yeah, no, but that is true. I would love to see the you know, 1,000 different simulations where Paul Gallant is still somehow a radio host in every single simulation, but you're doing just different shows of having. But you're still dressed like you still take care of yourself. I'll put it that way. That seems like a good euphemism. But you're still just ripping people like you're Don LaGreca. But you're just dressed as Rip from Yellowstone.
Yeah.
You're like, you think you're better than me?
I do declare, if you think you're better than me, Will.
How do you think...
You want a Southern gentleman, that's for damn sure.
How do you think Southern gentlemen would go over in Boston sports radio? Would they be like, get this effing clown off my
radio? Oh, yeah, 100%.
I want to talk about how we should fire Bill Belichick.
I don't know. I mean, they might be like... I don't know, like, Boston's more racist than the South. Like, yeah. Probably like, how dare this guy try to steal our corner?
You think you're more racist than me?
Yeah. You're trying to take away our corner? What are you doing over here? All right, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There's an interesting rumor developing in the NFL, but I got to do a little more research on. If it is indeed true, the Houston Texans should be thinking about this guy.
Kiss my ass, Spencer. It would be a good time because the weather is beautiful. I'm willing to say this is the first good day of weather in like 5 months.
Seriously.
It is glorious
outside.
I was going to say of the year, but that's not fair.
I really do want to break my sober October. I said October.
October.
October. Sabre October. Yep, we are at East River 9. We are going to be here all day long. Connor and Beard are up next. Killer Bees as well. Brought to you by Gentle Ben. There's a lovely tray over to my right with a couple of Gentle Ben beverages. You want to take a taste. And you've also got the best view of Houston skyline anywhere in town. So that's neato. Guys, you know what else is neato? The return of Loki on Disney Plus. Season 2 picks up in the aftermath of the shocking season finale, when Loki finds himself in a battle for the soul of the Time Variance Authority. I don't remember any of this. I didn't watch it.
I'm going to have to rewatch it before season 2.
Me too. I don't know what any of this means. There's been too many Marvel shows, but this one is actually the good one. Along with Mobius, Hunter B15. What? And a team of new and returning characters. I think I just remember these people as like Blondie, Hot Chick, Loki navigates an ever expanding and increasingly dangerous multiverse. Caller 3 to 713-780-3776. You win a $100 Visa gift card courtesy of the show. Loki Season 2 out now only on Disney Plus.
You're not Mobius guy? That's Owen Wilson's character.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, see, that's Owen Wilson. I'm sorry, that's Mobius.
Owen Wilson is in the class of actor where no matter what he's in, I'm like, hey, that's Owen Wilson.
Wow.
Yeah, he's the guy who played touch football with Bradley Cooper.
Wow. There was a rumor that the Twitch was trying to push that I don't buy into about a wide receiver who was looking for a trade. A quick note on the Texans. Going into the year, this is one of the worst wide receiver groups in the NFL. And the fact that C.J. Stroud has made it work with this wide receiver group is either, one, a reflection of how good Stroud is, or two, a reflection of this receiver group being better than we gave it credit for, which means Nico Collins is better than we thought, at least better than I thought, I'll be honest. Didn't think much of him, but big body guy and also seems to have a pretty good ability to run with the football after the catch, which is rather surprising given his size. Makes Nick Caserio look pretty good. And on top of that, Tank Dell's been pretty good too. Robert Woods still has a pulse. So this wide receiver group's been pretty good. I don't think you need to go and trade for a wide receiver like the one who is reportedly looking for a trade. And we looked it up. He doesn't want it, so I'm not even going to say his name on the air. The receiver group is not the problem for the Texans right now. That has been a pleasant surprise to this point, Sean.
Yeah, I think they've all exceeded what your reasonable expectation could have been. I mean, Nico Collins probably has outperformed the unreasonable expectations that you would have had for him before the season. And, yeah, I think some of that credit does go to C.J. Stroud just being better than we think. I think there's some throws that he makes and some, like, anticipatory throws that he makes that gets guys open, more or less. And I also think some of the credit goes to Bobby Slowick. Bobby Slowick has been better than I think any of us thought he would be as well. I mean, really, just point at someone on the Texas offense, and chances are they've been better than we thought they would be so far this year. So I think that does kind of turn down the heat, and this is looking probably way too far ahead for the Texans, but this does turn down the heat on trying to get a number one receiver this offseason, which would have been the plan before the season started. At least that's what we had kind of talked about, where, well, maybe next year's the year you go get your Tyreek Hill for Tua, and, you know, how your DJ Moore for Justin Fields, that's when you kind of throw some chips in to get a weapon for your guy. So far, if Nico Collins is this guy, which I, again, would like to see more than four
I'm
games
so skeptical,
of it.
But
that Nico Collins would just be that guy.
Yeah. We'll see. It has been really great thus far. Now, Sunday they play the Falcons. And we're going to continue talking about the Houston Astros for most of the second hour of the show. Because right now, I mean, it's Astros playoff season.
Yeah.
And the Texans are playing the Falcons. No offense.
Yeah, we're excited about the Texans, but they're playing the Falcons.
this is the correct take everyone should have on Sunday's game. We think you're doing a lot better, Texans. We're starting to get excited about you again. But the only thing you can do this week is let us down. That is legitimately it. You are not changing anyone's opinions if you beat a team that is quarterbacked by Desmond Ridder. If you lose to a team quarterbacked by Desmond Ridder, people will start to say same old Texans. People will start to seize the optimism, stop the optimism hard. So the only way that we care about the outcome on Sunday, the average casual Houston sports fan, is if you blow it. And a lot of this is timing, but you got to beat a team with Q ratings to, I think, make more people believe in you. Sort of like back in 2018, when this team won 9 games in a row, everyone thought it was hollow. Everyone thought it was BS. And this game against the Falcons, who are weirdly favored, I am shocked by the spread for this game. The Falcons are a 1.5-point favorites after what the Texans have done the last 2 weeks. I'm almost suspicious that something's missing because the injury report looks great for the Houston Texans, too. To me, this is almost like free money. In my picks league that I'm in, this is going to be my number one confidence pick. I do feel very good about it. But if they lose, I will crush them on Monday.
Yeah, and I'm not ready to throw same old Texans at them yet until they actually lose. Even then, they're probably still not the same old Texans. But I will say, as someone who the last time before the Steelers game, the last time I had gone to a Texans game was, I think, 2019. It was either 18 or 19. It was after the Texans beat the Patriots on Sunday Night Football. And then they go and they followed it up by losing and allowing, was it Drew Lock to have the best game of his career in the Broncos? Yeah. I think they're down 38-3 at some point. Whoa. That was the You Suck 2 game from Bill O'Brien.
And I think that, Kareem Jackson revenge game, too.
Kareem Jackson revenge game. That was the same old Texans. That is, when we talk about same old Texans, it is following up a Patriots Sunday night win against a Patriots team that ended up not being that good anyway. But then you follow that up with laying an absolute egg. Again, letting Drew Lock have the best game of his career against you.
Oh.
That is what – I don't think they can really have a result like that this year. They're still not quite in the contention. Like, the expectations that we have for this team is different than even the team
back. But they are changing.
With 2019. It is changing. If they do lose, I think it's bad no matter what. I don't think there's a way they can lose and us be positive about the Texans.
None. I mean, it would not be that surprising. I want to bring this up. The Falcons' running game is very good.
Yeah.
The Texans' running defense is suspect to me. I think you can take a look at the statistics, and it doesn't look that bad, but if you've been watching the games, they have had issues where they've looked awful against the ground. I would specifically point to last week against Pittsburgh. There were some moments against the Colts where, I mean, they don't even have Jonathan Taylor out there, and the Colts were doing whatever they wanted. Obviously, the Jaguars game, they never really established it. And the first game of the year, the Ravens, they are dealing with a bunch of messy stuff, too. But I think if there is a weakness on this defense, especially if Malik Collins has an abdomen injury, it's weird to call it abdomen. It's called abs. But I think of abdomen, I think of, like, arthropods. Sorry, this is a real rabbit hole that we're going down. But
yeah, no,
bring it back.
The
run defense for the Texans is suspect. The run offense for the Falcons is good.
Yeah, the Texans are really going to be put to the test on how their swarm mentality is going to be this Sunday with, like you said, the Falcons, the one thing they can do, I feel confident in the one thing about the Atlanta Falcons is that they are committed to the run and that they are pretty good at running the football. That is what the Texans need to do.
Yep.
If they stop that, chances are they win. Chances are if they can force Desmond Ridder to try to beat them, Desmond Ridder will not beat them.
He's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're going to get back into talking about the Houston Astros. Your Houston Astros playoffs begin tomorrow. What are the biggest questions for the Astros heading into this postseason? 713-780-3776 to call, to text if you have any.